From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump, during his first visit to Chicago as president, was met on Monday by mass protests. Thousands of Chicagoans marched and rallied, including in front of Trump Tower, holding signs that included references to his impeachment. Trump was in the city to address the Conference of Police Chiefs, which Chicago's own chief, Eddie Johnson, boycotted. Trump repeatedly slammed Johnson during his speech, blaming him for the city's notoriously high homicide rate. He also ominously promised a surge of police officers in the U.S. Using terminology usually reserved for war zones, he described how his Attorney General William Barr would, quote, announce a new crackdown on violent crime, targeting gangs and drug traffickers in high-crime cities and dangerous rural areas. We turn now to Marge Halperin, who is board member of Indivisible Chicago. Welcome to the program, Marge.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the protests that took place Monday. Before it took place, when it was announced that Trump would be visiting Chicago, I understand that groups like yours scrambled to organize and promised to meet Trump with mass protests to make it clear he was not welcome in the city. Did those protests go off as you expected?
Yes, it certainly did, and maybe even beyond some expectations. We had a coalition, dozens of groups with a lot of reasons to complain about Trump. The Indivisible Chicago Alliance that I represent is a coalition of more than a dozen neighborhood chapters of Indivisible, and we partnered with women's organizations, youth organizations, organizations like Black Lives Matter, Chicago Women Take Action, Planned Parenthood, immigration groups. There are a lot of reasons to complain about this president, and groups were out with their own reasons. Certainly those who fight for gun reforms were out there as well.
So there were mass protests, people marched across the city, and then they also rallied in front of Trump Tower. Can you tell me a little bit about that specific part of the protest?
We did. And for those who have not been to Chicago, I urge you to Google to look for a picture of Trump Tower. It is honestly a rather lovely construction. And when it went up, people were nervous about having this. It was before he was president. But then he put very large letters, T-R-U-M-P. And so now it is a solid symbol of protest for our city. And we do a lot of actions in front of that so that you can. At one point, we went out at night with lighting equipment. It was on the 3rd of July to celebrate the 4th, and we flashed messages that said impeach above the word Trump. And today, there was some of that kind of action as well, where people could hold up their signs in front of the large letters of Trump that normally anger us in this city, and in this case gave us a way to protest even louder.
You mentioned groups like Black Lives Matter were involved in the protests on Monday. Chicago has very serious problems, problems of police brutality, violence, racism, and it also right now has a liberal-leaning mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Just before we go to what it was that Trump actually said during his speech, how do you assess where the city is right now in grappling with these problems under especially the leadership of the new mayor?
Well, Mayor Lightfoot took office in May, the beginning of May, so she is right now going through her first budget cycle. She is going through her first teacher's strike as we speak.
Right. That's another huge thing happening right in Chicago right now.
Right. We had a lot of teachers out there with us as well on Monday. But she has not had ample time to really lay the foundation for her new policies. But I remain personally optimistic that she can bring the city along with the progressive values that I and Indivisible stand for. She is making an effort to further develop the community. She's spending time there. She's talking with diverse groups about what's needed, contrary to what President Trump has said this week, it's not more police on the street that we're looking for. It's more services and programs, and we're looking for leaders who will spend time in the community. And, you know, this is the major complaint that we had when Trump came to visit our city. He didn't come to visit the people who live in that city. He didn't go into communities. He didn't talk to people about homelessness, gun violence, need for more jobs, access to health care, individual rights, the youth education. There's so many things he could have come here and made visits to actual residents of the city to talk to them about the problems and how the federal government can help. No, he didn't do that. He went to the International Association of Police Chiefs, where he would get a friendly audience of out-of-towners who would laugh at his jokes and believe the lies that he says about his efforts to help our city, listen to him bashing the city and laugh. Then he went through an underground tunnel that cuts across the city to his tower, where he could meet with high-dollar donors and raise money, go back into the tunnel, get out to the airport, and leave town. That's what he chose to do. And that, to me, is the most insulting thing. I know you're going to play clips of the verbal insults that he left with our city, but really, his actions spoke even louder than the words.
Well, I want to actually quote Mayor Lori Lightfoot and her response. She refused to meet with President Trump. She instead met with former President Barack Obama. And in a tweet, she said, "It's no surprise that Donald Trump brought his insulting, ignorant buffoonery to Chicago. Luckily, in the city, we know the truth and we will not let anyone, no matter how high the office, denigrate who we are as a people or our status as a welcoming city. Rather than belittle Chicago's communities with hateful and dishonest rhetoric, he needs to go back to D.C. and face his fate." So this is what Lightfoot said. He also found an enemy in Chicago Police Chief Eddie Johnson. And it seems as though this is a pattern, Marge, with Trump and particularly liberal-leaning, cosmopolitan, progressive, Democrat-heavy cities in the United States, like Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York, and honestly, even Washington, D.C., Baltimore, where he is facing, or where he ends up insulting the liberal leaders and making their making the failings in their city a political campaign point that he can rally on. I'm thinking of his decision that he has made to apparently solve homelessness and the housing crisis in California. And it seems as though he took the same tack in Chicago, that because Chicago struggles with high homicide rates, that he was going to come in through the federal government and solve Chicago's problems. So do you feel that he's sort of using that same lens?
Well, he's doing all the things here that he does normally. He makes up stories. His favorite story about Chicago is about some mythical police officer on a motorcycle.
Yes, and actually, let's play a clip of that. I want to play a clip.
Let's listen to that. I'll give that as an example.
So this is something that Trump has apparently talked about several times before. He went on at length during his speech in Chicago on Monday. I'll just play a tiny part of it.
I said, "You're a tough guy. How long do you think it would take you to fix this killing problem in Chicago?" He looked at me and said, "One day, sir. These cops are great. They know all the bad guys, sir. They know exactly what to do. We could straighten it out so quickly that your head would spin." I left very impressed, whether it was one day, 1 week, or 1 month. There was no doubt he could have done it. And I actually told the story numerous times, and I actually sent his name in to somebody involved with Chicago. And that's the last time I ever heard of that man.
And that is President Trump on Monday speaking to police chiefs at a speech in Chicago, talking about a man that he claims to have met riding a motorcycle, some tough guy who he says could have solved Chicago's problems in one day. And Trump said he sent in his name to someone involved in Chicago and never heard back. Police Chief Eddie Johnson said he had no idea what Trump was talking about and that he likely just made up the whole thing out of whole cloth. How do you respond, Marge, to this?
At one of the earlier times, he repeated the story. And as he said himself, he embellishes. First, it was 2 weeks, then it was a week, now it's a day. He can't keep his fables straight. At the time that he said this, one of the times he said this before, he said he'd given the info to Chicago Police. Chicago Police Department at that time said no communication had come from the White House on this matter. He never had a name. There is no such person. And I will tell you, in my own experience, anytime Trump relates a story and someone calls him sir, it's not true. That's a trigger that he uses for a lie. He's got something as a side point, but he does have something about people calling him sir. He loves it. And anytime is, and the bigger, the more important the person, the more his fable will include that they address him as sir. Nonetheless, this story is not true. You watch, start paying attention, you'll see that I'm right. But it, nonetheless, this story is not true. He doesn't know how to fix Chicago. He doesn't want to fix Chicago. And the real issues here, the communities know that people are working in communities on important issues, as I think I said earlier, education and jobs, economic development, working on issues of criminalizing communities so that a whole communities of people of color, mostly men, are taken into prison disproportionately, lose all opportunity in life and dumped back on the street without any assistance. There's a lot of things the federal government can do to help our city and cities like us. Trump has no interest in that. He's written off big cities, as I think you were suggesting a few minutes ago, because he doesn't think he can get any votes here. He did get, I think, about 132,000 votes out of Chicago in 2016 in the city proper. I'm guessing in 2020 he's going to need every vote he can get. But instead he plays to his core base, whether it's 30%, 40% on a given poll. That's who he talks to. That's the only group he knows how to talk to. He doesn't know how to talk to the people of Chicago, the people who are suffering, those who need his support. All he knows how to do is bully. He cuts education funds. He cuts after school programs. He cuts Head Start. He cuts housing assistance. We all know what it takes to make a thriving, successful community, and Trump has no interest in supporting those things.
So Chicago does have a very serious problem of police brutality, police violence. We have high-profile cases like the killing of Laquan McDonald. But on a much broader basis, there has been so much police impropriety and really crimes against Chicagoans that have been exposed that Trump could have actually, if he wanted to help solve one of Chicago's problems, he could have actually talked about solving the issue of police brutality. There was a study earlier this year showing that police use more force against Black citizens in cities like Chicago, even though white citizens resist more. So there's clearly disproportionate racial violence from police. And the previous administration of Barack Obama had started to make some very modest progress with these consent decrees on police forces like those of Chicago, which the Trump administration has undone under previous Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and that continues under William Barr's authority. Let's listen to another clip where Trump promised this surge of cops to address crime in Chicago. Here again is Trump on Monday in Chicago.
In coming weeks, Attorney General Barr will announce a new crackdown on violent crime, which I think is so important, targeting gangs and drug traffickers in high crime cities and dangerous rural areas. Let's call it the surge. We can come up with lots of names, but we're going to be doing something that's very dramatic, headed up by our great Attorney General, and you're going to see tremendous results very quickly. The best way to reduce gun violence is to put criminals with firearms behind bars. And just so you understand, because I think there is no stronger protector than me, we will always protect our Second Amendment. Always. My administration has also curtailed the harmful and intrusive use of federal consent decrees, which wrongly give meddlesome officials in Washington, D.C., immense authority to tie down local police departments and make it very difficult to do their work. No longer will federal bureaucrats micromanage your local police. And we will work with, upon request, local police to help them, not to hinder them. And we're waiting for a call from Chicago, because there's no place that we would rather help than Chicago.
And that is President Trump on Monday talking about wanting to help Chicago by freeing police in Chicago to continue what they had been doing. This is one of the most brutal police forces in the country. Trump also talked about the federal consent decrees and claimed that he was the strongest backer of the Second Amendment. But Marge Halperin, you're with Indivisible Chicago. How do you respond to his claim that the best way to address violent crime in Chicago is to put criminals with guns behind bars?
So funny that he just slides over the fact that they have guns and then promises to protect the Second Amendment. Look, if he really wanted to help Chicago, he would do what Chicago asked, which is let us live under this consent decree so that we can make the improvements that are needed. That's what Chicago asked for. He says he doesn't hear from Chicago. He heard plenty when Jeff Sessions moved to disband the consent decree. He heard from the city through formal channels and from the people that we wanted that to stand, and he ignored it. He's also heard from us that we want more sensible gun control. 60% of the guns in our city come over the border from Indiana. And
that's a fact that the so-called Second Amendment rights people constantly, conveniently choose to ignore and say that they cite Chicago as an example of how gun control has failed because Chicago has very strict gun control and yet has one of the highest gun homicide rates in the nation. They never account for the fact that you have this island of strong gun control surrounded by very poor gun control.
Let me correct one other myth that I'm surprised Trump didn't repeat this time, because he loves to say we have the strongest gun control regulations in the country, but we do not. Hmm. We propose them, our legislature passed them, and the courts threw them out. Wow. So we no longer operate under those strong regulations for guns. We have concealed carry like the rest of the country because we've been forced into it by the courts. What Indiana lacks is any kind of background checks or licensing requirements for guns sold privately, limited review of anything sold at a gun show. So people will literally, and there are photos and documentation of this, fill their trunks with guns they can legally purchase in Indiana, drive across the border, bring them into neighborhoods that are vulnerable. And distribute them. I mean, I think the real crime is to characterize and stereotype Chicago's communities or any communities with such blanket accusations. There are some serious efforts in our neighborhoods to fight crime and violence by helping families, give them better opportunities and more resources. Federal government is not helping do that. Trump, as I said, didn't visit the neighborhoods he's talking about. He's never been there. He hasn't met the residents of those communities. He'd rather stereotype our mayor and the people who live here. And everyone in the country should be insulted by that kind of conversation.
What about Police Chief Eddie Johnson, just focusing on the issue at hand in Chicago with police violence, just as you assessed Mayor Lori Lightfoot's very brief tenure, how do you assess Eddie Johnson's leadership?
It falls short. Mm-hmm. Until these problems are resolved, it will fall short. And what you're talking about, I don't know if I would characterize Chicago's police force as the most brutal or however you characterize. The fact is that policing in our country is flawed. There are, you know, you've seen the psychological tests about officers, whether they are black or white, react differently in studies to those perceived as perpetrators if they're people of color. Yeah. There's a very deep problem in our country with race. It's manifest on the streets in violent ways, manifest by police in dangerous ways. The But we're tinkering at the margins. If you talk about, if you're debating whether to send more cops into the street, whether to lock up more people, you know, African Americans five times more likely to be incarcerated than a white person. You know, we have serious problems that aren't about locking up more people, putting out more cops, being more punitive. We have to address the race problem in this country if we're to make policing safe for all people who live here. That's a very deep question and a deep problem that our country has failed to examine the way it needs to be, and this president ain't the one to do it.
Do you worry about what's coming in the next few weeks from Attorney General Barr with the so-called surge of cops? I mean, we use that term surge was popularized by President George W. Bush when he talked about increasing troops, U.S. military troops to Iraq. So that, and of course, given Chicago's comparison with war zones in the past, that word carried heavy weight in Trump's speech.
Oh, he knew that. He meant it. He's taunting and bullying. I don't see how he can send more police onto the streets if Chicago doesn't support that. You have to ask for the National Guard. Is he going to send the army? I don't think so. Is that where the troops he just withdrew and left our allies and the Kurds high and dry is going to bring troops into our cities? Certainly not. He doesn't have the authority to do that without Congress. He'd have to declare a national emergency and prove to the courts that there really was one.
I'm assuming he was applying the word surge to more police officers, but I guess it's not clear yet. We might have to wait and see.
Yeah, but he doesn't have police officers.
Right.
Police
Those are
controlled
state by the state. And city
and
level.
The state. And even the National Guard is the closest they come. But that has to be requested by the state. He does not have the authority to do any kind of surge. He's taunting.
I'm wondering if it's an issue of increased federal funding or increased military surplus weapons in the hands of police officers, because the federal government does have some recourse to better arming and funding police departments, but not all, you know, doesn't control it.
No, and he doesn't control how the city uses that money. And let me point out that Chicago actually took Trump to court a little more than a year ago because he took away funding for police officers in retaliation for our maintaining a sanctuary city. So his retribution was to cut police funding, police support, the number of police officers on the street. It was a twisted sort of way, ironic, to attack our protection of immigrants in the city. So he controls the flow of funds and supplies, perhaps, that he could add, but he can't control whether we take it or not.
Marge, give out a website where people can find out more about the work you do with Indivisible Chicago.
Thank you. We're indivisiblechicago.com, and we are organizing for 2020 because, in the end, that is the only way with certainty to move this president out of the White House. We're part of a Midwest coalition working to make sure we have a blue wall around states like Michigan, Indiana. I mean, I'll leave Indiana out. Michigan, Illinois, and Wisconsin. Sad about Indiana, but there you go. But we're going to make sure Michigan and Wisconsin are blue this next time around. So indivisiblechicago.com is where people can sign up to learn more about us. And we're happy to make relationships around the country.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marge Halperin is a board member of Indivisible Chicago. We've been discussing the mass protests against Trump in Chicago, as well as his speech to police chiefs. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.